Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. And because I am standing here, I have the ability to personally tell my mother how much I love her and appreciate her. So I love you, and I appreciate all that you do for us. Through the week, God has moved my heart. And it is my joy to serve you and bring it to you. Let's pray together. Father, I truly pray that you do speak to us through your word today, Lord. May this be a time when your glory is proclaimed, your love is proclaimed through your word. Use me, a broken vessel, Lord, to proclaim your truths. May they hear them. May it pierce their hearts. May your spirit move in them to change their minds and draw them closer to you. Bless this time now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Cole read the scripture where we're in. It's the book of 1 John. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open into the book of 1 John. We're also going to be in Deuteronomy and Romans and Gospel of John. So be ready to move around. What Cole read was the book of 1 John, and what I'm going to do today actually is the second part of a two-part message. I had part one last week. If you were not here, I did make CDs of it. If you listen to this one, it might make a little more sense. If you listen to the first one, feel free to grab one. They're out on the counter out there. But I am going to review because there are a number of people in here that weren't here last week. The book of 1 John is the book that we've been studying on Sunday nights, and we are up to chapter 2, verse 3, 4, 5, 6. But what's happening early in the book of 1 John is John sets up his authority to write this book. He tells us that he was with Christ, that he touched Christ, that he heard Christ, that he experienced Jesus Christ firsthand. And then he declares to us that he's writing this, that we would be members in the family of God along with him, that we would fellowship with them who are fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. In the very next verse, verse 4 of chapter 1, John writes, I write these things unto you. Actually, he says, we write these things unto you that your joy may be full. Then John goes on to talk about fellowship with the Father, walking in the light with the Father. While walking in the light with the Father, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us to confess our sins to God. And he will be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. And then he goes into chapter 2 and he tells us, do not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, but not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Brings us up to verse 3 in chapter 2, and that's where we are today. Chapter 2 of 1 John, verses 3 and 4, this is God's word. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. John brings us to this point, and he tells us, this is how we know that we know. This is how we can be sure that we are in the family of God. This is how we can be sure that the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from our sins. This is how we can be sure that Jesus Christ is our propitiation for our sins. This is how John wants us to know that we can have the full joy he was talking about in verse 4 of chapter 1. How can I know that I know Christ to have the full joy? So this is what we are focusing on. I'm going to review last week. Last week we looked at the knowledge. What is it that we know that we know? And we saw first the type of knowledge, and it's the type of knowledge that leads to definite confirmation. And the object of that confirmation, the object of that knowledge is Jesus Christ. And we saw that the type of knowledge is a personal relationship knowledge with Christ that is founded in love and indwelling based. So to summarize that knowledge, it is definite confirmation that we have come to know Jesus Christ in a personal relationship that is founded in love and indwelling based. The second thing we looked at was the key to the knowledge, being truth. God is truth. God is 100% pure light. He is 100% pure truth. There is no deception in God at all. And if that be true, and it is, then truth is the key to knowledge. We looked at this is an individual truth. This is for me. This is for each one of you. This is not something for someone that's not here today right now. This is an individual truth. John is speaking to us individually. We saw that liars don't have the truth in them. In this context, they are lying. They are lying about knowing Christ. If you say you know Christ and you don't keep your commandments, you are lying about that. You are a liar in that context. Liars like that do not have the truth in them. And the truth they do not have in them is the salvation truth. They heard the gospel. They knew about the gospel, but they didn't believe in the gospel. Then we saw that liars are exposed by their actions. Actually, lack of actions. And then the fourth thing I mentioned was truth within the action was the key to the examination, which we're going to look at today, in its motive and manner, and we're going to look at that today. The last thing then we looked at last week was the importance of this knowledge. How important is it that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior? And I said this is of utmost importance. There is nothing else in this world that you should be more sure of than your relationship with Christ. Because your destiny is in the balance. Your eternal destiny. Where you spend it and who you spend it with. So that's what we looked at last week. This week, we're going to take a look at the test. And I prefer to call it an examination because it is an examination of our hearts. It is an examination of our inner beings. And before we start, I have a couple of things, though. Maybe really only one. This verse is for believers in Christ. This verse is for believers. Yes, it is an individual truth, but John writes this to believers. Let's read that verse. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We. The we is members of the family of God. The we is believers in Jesus Christ that are born again. This is not for unbelievers, this verse. Now, it can have effect on non-believers, but John writes this to us. So then this, actually I was going to bring purpose into this sermon, but I didn't have enough time. I just want to state this up. After telling you it is for us believers in Christ, here is the purpose. This verse is for our assurance. It's for our encouragement. It's for our motivation as believers in Christ. That is the purpose. So this is an examination of our heart, of our inner being. This is an examination of whether we have the Holy Spirit in us or not. What we're going to look at is three things. We're going to look at the commands. We're going to look at the keeping. And then we're going to close. Let's read verse 3 again. Actually, 3 and 4. This is God's word. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The first thing we need to look at is the commandments. What is it that we are to be keeping? What are the commandments? What are the nature of the commandments? And the first thing we're going to look at is what are the commandments he's talking about here? What are the commandments? And we're going to read just a little further in 1 John to find that. We're going to start in verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we do know that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought to himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. I love this. Look at verse 7. I write no new commandment. Look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. I love that. And we will get there. Not today. We will get there. What I want to focus on is verse 7. It is the old commandment he is talking of. It is the old word that he had given us, actually Israelites. What is that? We know what that is, right? But let's be sure. Let's be sure together from God's word. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the chapter directly following the Ten Commandments. What commandments are we to keep? The old ones, the word from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. This is God's word. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to each you, to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this in Matthew. Move on to Matthew chapter 22. What is the commandment? What are the commandments we are to be keeping? Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. It's answering a question. Actually, the question is being asked right here. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love people. It's all about love. Love God. Love others. All of the laws and all of the prophets, everything we know of in Scripture, hangs on to love. Everything that God has given to us, everything that God has done for us, all the promises he has given to us is for love. It is about love. The commandment we are to keep is to love. The commandment we are to keep is love. That is what the commandment is. Next, we'll look at whose commandments they are. Whose commandments are these? And this is an easy one, but let's look at it anyhow. Back to our scripture in 1 John, verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. These are Jesus' commandments. We looked at that last week. We proved that through scripture that the him and the he and here is Jesus. These are Jesus' commandments. They're not man's commandments. They are the creator of the universe, the living God. These are his commandments. The Savior of the world commands us to love. We haven't gone real far, but let's recap. And I'm going to reverse the order now. The commandments are from Jesus. And the commandment is to love God and to love others. Because all the other laws and all the prophets hang from to love. And this is a good time to say that everything in here is about love. How to love him, why to love him. It's about love. It's a love story. It's a love story about a God that is holy, a God that is just, a God that is sovereign, and a God that redeems because he loves us. If you read scripture through those glasses, you will get a deeper understanding of what God is saying in his word, and you will get a deeper understanding of his love for you. Next, we're going to look at the location of the commandments. We know what the commandments are. Where are they located? Tablets of stone? Yes. Scripture? Absolutely. But I want to keep in the context of what we're looking at. And what we're looking at is a relationship with Jesus Christ that is founded in love and indwelling based. Where are the commandments located? Where is the command to love located? Let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 31. Where are God's laws? Where are his commandments? This is the prophet Jeremiah foretelling of God's new coming covenant. The new covenant is now. Behold, Jeremiah 31:31, God's word. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God puts his laws in our mind and in our hearts. Paul talks about this in Hebrews. Keep your fingers in Jeremiah right here because we're going to come back. But Paul talks about this in Hebrews. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 8. Paul is talking about the new covenant that we are now in. Where are the commands to love? Hebrews chapter 8. starting in verse 9, reading God's word. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I was merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. This is the new covenant. God writes his laws in our hearts, and he puts them in our minds. This is the location of the commandments. Why is this so special? And how is this new compared to what it was back in the old covenant? That's why we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Why is this so special? Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and while thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and shall be as frontlets between their eyes. And they shall write them upon the posts of their house and on their gates. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Shall be in thy heart. But how do they get there? What is he talking about here? In the new covenant, he writes them in us. How do they get there in their hearts? Well, they are to teach them diligently to each other. They're to talk to their children about them. They're to talk about them when they're sitting down, when they're lying down, when they're rising up, when they're walking. They're supposed to write them on their houses and on their fence posts, and actually write them and tie them around their wrists and put them between their eyes. They're to learn them by heart. Like the ABCs. God wants them to teach each other so they're in their hearts. They learn them. They know them by heart. Look at the reason that he gives for this. We'll move on right there. On to verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten from the full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which thou thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Here's what it is. Hear, O Israel, I am one God, one Lord. Love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have this in your heart. Teach it to each other and get it in your heart. Because I'm going to take you to a land, and I am going to give you great cities that you didn't build. I'm going to give you full houses, full of good things which you did not fill. I am going to give you wells which you did not dig. I am going to fill you
with food that you did not plant or harvest. When you're full of all these things, and all these things are satisfying you, beware, lest you forget me. Do not let these things come into your heart, become idols of your heart. Know me by heart. There's no room for you here. Know them by heart. In the Old Covenant, God wrote his laws on stones. In the New Covenant, he writes it on our heart and in our minds. In the Old Covenant, they had to remember God. In the New Covenant, God indwells us. We cannot forget him. The laws in the Old Covenant were from the outside, coming in and then going out in obedience. In the New Covenant, the laws are in our heart and they come out. They are part of us. Are they in the Bible? Yes. Are they taught to us? Yes. But they are in us. The location of the command to love is in us. Quick to note, the laws are in us, but know for sure that the Holy Spirit would never have us do anything that does not match up to Scripture. Scripture is our final authority. So recapping, looking at the commandments, we saw that they're Jesus' commandments. The commandment is to love, and the location is in us. Next, we'll look at keep. Keep. If we are to keep his commandments, what is it to keep? We're going to look at the definition. We're going to look at the motive. And then we're going to look at the manner, but we just actually covered that. Because the manner is obedience from the heart. It is keeping from the heart. So that is the manner. Let's go back to our passage in John. In chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. This is how we are to know that we know, if we keep his commandments. I am not a PhD, I am not a Greek scholar, but I have been in this verse for weeks. And if your translation says, obey his commandments, I think that is an unfortunate translation. That is my opinion. The Greek word is tereo. There's two senses in that word that apply here. The first is to keep, to guard. The sense of guarding from loss or injury. A sense of guarding even to make sure that nothing is married into it. The second sense is then to observe, to watch over. To observe in the sense of performing and obeying. It flows from it. Remember, that which we are keeping is God's command to love. We are to guard that from loss or injury or marriage with anything else. And then we are to observe it. To obey it. It is much more than simple obedience in this word. This is not the same word that other places in the New Testament use, obey. This is not the word that when Jesus says to the water, come, and it obeys him. This is not the same word when Jesus says to the demons in the man, go into the pigs, and they obey. That is authoritative obedience. This is not that. This is much more than that. Let's move on to the motive of keeping. We've got the definition. of keep. We've talked about the manner of keeping. Now let's look at the motive. Why? Why? Why do we love God? Why do we keep His commandment? What is the motive? Don't get this verse backwards. Don't get this backwards verse. It is not if we keep or obey Him, then we will know Him. It is we know Him, then we will keep. It is not if we obey Him, then He will love us. Our motive for keeping His commandments is not because He tells us to. It is not to know Him. It is not to earn His love. It is not because He commands us to. Why do we keep the commandment to love Him? What is the motive of the great commandments that all the other laws and all the other prophets hang on? The reason we keep His commandments is because we love Him. Let's look at John 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, starting in verse 12. This is God's word. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. We keep his commandments because we love him. Move on to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall also live. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that love me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. Our motivation for keeping his commandments to love is to love, is love. Or better yet, we could just say it this way. Jesus, we love Jesus, so we keep his commandments. Some would say we obey, then we love. We obey to love. Or is it we love, then the commandment to obey to love, then we love? It really says itself. Obey is to love, and love is to obey. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Which came first? Does love come first, or does obedience come first? I believe this is very important in our growth in Christ to understand what comes first. First, we love Him. Then we keep and obey. Let's look at this one more place. Back in 1 John chapter 4. If you want to know the motive for the great commandment, if you want to know whether it starts with obedience or it starts with love, follow along and see God's word speak for itself. Chapter 4, verse 7, this is God's word. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. We love him, we love our neighbors, we love each other because he loved us first. This is the motive to keep and obey the great commandment. Our love for God comes from his love for us. Let's stop being legalistic. Fred needs to stop being legalistic. I cannot gain his love. He's given it to me. We love him because we love him, not because he tells us to. We love him because we love him. How much did he love us? How much did God love us? He sent his Son to die for us. Should we obey God? Absolutely, yes. But listen, get this right and get this straight. Love from God comes first. Love for God comes second. Keeping his commandments comes third. Obedience comes out. Obedience is an outward reaction to an inward condition of being in love with the God that created the universe and indwells us. We do not keep and obey to know him. We know him, so we keep and obey. We do not keep and obey to love him. We love him, so we keep and obey. The real motive for keeping is God's love. Let's recap. Looking at the commandments, we saw that they are Jesus' commandments. The commandment is to love, because all of the other laws and all of what the prophets said hang on that commandment. They are located inside of us. In keeping, we saw it is to guard, to watch, to perform and obey. The motive is because we love God. So with all of that together now, there's 14 simple words in the verse we're looking at in the King James Version. They are simple. There's depth in each one of the words, but it's simple. Let's keep it simple because John has it there simple. In order to know that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ that is founded in love and indwelling based, we simply have to be guarding that which is part of us. We have to be keeping his commandments. And out of love then, and from the heart, obeying them. It's that simple. We know that we know him because we keep his commandments. Is it really that simple, though? It's not. There's something missing. Because I know we all struggle. I struggle. Am I always keeping and obeying his commandments? Always, 100%? No way! We all struggle. There's something missing. There's something huge missing yet. And to find this and to see this, I want to look at Paul's struggle in Romans chapter 7. And if you're reading along over here, it'll be ESV because it is a passage which is much more understandable in the ESV. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. This is God's word. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writer of great doctrine in the Bible. And I'm sorry, I'm out of God's word here. Remember who this is. Remember who's having this struggle. Let's start over in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is not that is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I do what I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Therefore, is there no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is a war raging within us. There is an unmistakable desire to do what is right in us. There is a delight of God's law in our inner being. How do we know that we know him? Is there a war raging inside of us to do what is right? Do we have that unmistakable desire within us to do what is right? Do we have that unmistakable desire in us to keep his commandments, to love him? Oh, the battle! Notice where Paul goes with this, though. He goes right back to the cross. Let's look a little further in Romans, and we're going to see Paul sum this up a bit. We're going to go down to verse 14. Where does this desire come from? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also be glorified with him. We are children led by the Spirit of God, which testifies that we are the children of God. How do we know that we know him? The God that indwells us leads us, which gives us an unmistakable desire to do what is right, to keep his commandments. How do we know that we know him when we're in the midst of a struggle? When we are sinning, when we are losing the battle, when we are in the battle, how do we know that we know him? Born again believers in Christ, we have that unmistakable desire in us to love God with our hearts, to love our neighbors, to love each other. And when we struggle, when we sin, and this is where the rubber meets the road, people. When we struggle, when we sin, we have Christ. Though we fall short and we struggle and we sin, we have Christ. He went to the cross for us. He died on the cross for us. He paid our penalty. He rose again, and his righteousness is now our righteousness. We don't have to keep the desire there. God keeps it there for us in Christ. It is not our job. Christ did it. Because of the love of God has for us, we have an unmistakable desire to love him that was purchased with the blood of Christ and is sealed in us by the Holy Spirit forever. Though we fall short and we struggle and we sin, though the war is raging, we keep the desire to love. It doesn't go away. It won't go away. It cannot go away because God has promised that it would never go away. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Because of God, because of the love God has for us, we have an unmistakable desire to love that was purchased by the blood of Christ and sealed by the indwelling Holy Spirit forever. That is how we know that we know him. Brothers and sisters, let's look in our hearts. There is a God-indwelling desire to grow in Christ, to serve Christ, to worship Christ, to put Christ on the throne and obey and keep his commandments. To love. Let's yield to that desire to love, because that is really where the joy is. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, thank you that we love you because we love you. Because of what you've done for us. And those in here that this did not make sense to, I pray that you reveal what it means. If it didn't make sense, Father, because they don't know you, I pray that today you convict them of their sins. And they cry out to you for mercy, and they believe in what Christ did on the cross for them. And they put their faith in that alone, in Christ alone. As we move forward with the fellowship dinner, potluck, I pray, Father, that our fellowship would be with one another in love, in your love. I pray, Father, as we go out into the world, that your love just pours out of us to other people, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.